listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network for podcasting or live program scheduling. Hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Do take a look at yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna be?
Tell me why your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yeah. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood. together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope all is well with you today. Hope you are going to have a, hope you have a great day. I hope you get a chance to do all the things that you want to do, need to do, should do, better do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope that the weather is accommodating for you to do it. But if it isn't, just got to get it done anyway. I know here in Atlanta, it's hot. They don't call this hot Atlanta for nothing. Man, it's going to be in the 90s for some time. Maybe a little dip every now and then, but you talk about the middle of the day, 1, 2, or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's serious. So, all right, family. Got a good program for you today, but let's talk about the lineup that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. This program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live as we are at this moment, then you can easily go to the archives, timeforanawakening.com. Scroll down till you see the red, black, and green lion with African pose. Click on and then go to where we can find, you can find previously recorded programs that are titled and dated. And thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku, for his assistance in that manner. Also on Mondays, all times I'm going to give our Eastern times is Acres of Diamonds public affairs programming from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern. Right after that, Let's Buy Black 365. Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. On Tuesdays, yesterday, Dr. William Rogers, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays this evening from 8 to 10 Eastern, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, Revive. On Friday from 8 p.m., if it's 8 p.m. Eastern, and it's Friday, that's right, brothers and sisters, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore. Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. No, that's right, it is not me. It is Sister POC bringing you Revive once again, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sunday. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. What do we have here? Okay, let me start with this one. This one. That's right. I'll start with Brother Tahimbe. Brother Bomani was our guest on Monday's program. He had just successfully returned from another tour to Africa, which he's had many, and you can check them out on AfricaForTheAfricans.org, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. You can email him at AFTA2010@MSN.com, or you can give Brother Bomani a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. Check out the pictures, the photos from this year's, from a few weeks ago. He just got back at the beginning of this month on facebook.com/Bomani, B-O-M-A-N-I. You want to check out videos from this year's? Check it out on youtube.com/Bomani 2007. He has a tour coming up in November to Ghana. 10 days, $2,950, $2,950 all-inclusive, leaving out of Atlanta to New York to Amsterdam and then to Accra, Ghana. November 16th through the 26th of this year. His big trip will be once again in May, May 22nd to June 4th of 2019, 13 days. It can be as little as $3,400. This time you're going to go all around Africa. In fact, he's going to even go to Takrati, which I've never been to Takrati, and I want to go to Takrati. So I'm going to check that out. Cafe Ulu. Cafe Ulu, of course, they still broadcast. They don't broadcast on Time for an Awakening Media. They're on Blog Talk again. And the number to call for tomorrow's program, 9 p.m. Us Lifting Us. Ulu's program is tomorrow, 9 p.m. And the number to call is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789 to check out the program. Also to Cafe Ulu. Cafe Ulu is open Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Saturday and Sunday from 8 p.m. to 5 p.m., and we're located 2036 Sylvan Road in the Sylvan Plaza, 2036 Sylvan Road in Atlanta, and we have coffee. We got coffee from Cameroon, from Tanzania, Kenya, Ethiopia, many more places, and loose teas. Everything sold at Cafe Ulu is produced by us. Cafe Ulu, and you can check them out on the web. Go to CFEULU.com, CFEULU.com. Also check out our website, usliftingus.com. We Buy Black, WeBuyBlack.com, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses on WeBuyBlack.com. They have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall. They sell laundry detergent that's produced by us, toothpaste, toothbrushes, razors, deodorant, liniment for your aches and bones, batteries, rechargeable batteries, and many more products to come. WeBuyBlack.com. Let me go here with a fundraiser for the Shrine of the Black Madonna, a fundraiser for the Shrine of the Black Madonna, Saturday, July 7th. Doors open up at 5 p.m. It is Dr. Umar Johnson returning to Atlanta at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Tickets are $25 in advance and $30 at the door. Brother Umar Johnson. And so check that out. The Shrine of the Black Madonna here in Atlanta, 946 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard here in Southwest in the West End. And so check out the Shrine of the Black Madonna, Dr. Umar Johnson, coming on July 7th. Black Dot, Cultural Center and Bookstore. Black Dot, of course, the Shrine has a bookstore along with the Greenbrier Mall. Medu Netra has a bookstore. So we have at least three bookstores in the immediate area, maybe more. And if you have one in your locale, that's great. Please frequent it. The Black Dot, Cultural Center and Bookstore, located 6984 Main Street in Lithonia, Georgia. The phone number to call is 404-519-8107, 404-519-8107, Black Dot. And you can get those Nat Turner's and all the other shoes, because Brother Anka's right there. There's some apparel, too, that is appealing. Please check them out, Brother Achamu and Brother Ankh at the Black Dot. African-Centered Homeschool Program. The Akabin Institute is a full-time African-Centered Homeschool Program beginning its 20th year of operation. Courses include math, language, arts, science, social studies, including African and American African history, and chess. Courses are taught by instructors who have experience educating elementary through college-level students. It's open for students from the 4th through the 12th grade. From the 4th through the 12th grade, we will follow the Atlanta Public School System calendar, which is starting next month. Oh, that's not July. August. It will start in August. and end in May. And it's located in the West End. The contact person is my good brother, Baba Baruti, and his lovely wife, Ya Baruti, at 404-753-7237. 404-753-7237. Or you can email him at malawalimubaruti@yahoo.com or yabaruti@yahoo.com. Also, too, Liberated Minds, the 2018 7th Annual Liberated Minds Black Homeschool, African Homeschool Education Expo. Friday, July 13th will be a meet and greet at the Omega World Center on Snapfinger Parkway in Decatur. And then Saturday and Sunday will be the conference at Piedmont, Georgia Piedmont Tech College in Clarkston, Georgia. And there is a fee. I'll get that fee. But it's July 13th through the 15th, planting seeds of success, bearing trees of fruits for our liberation. And we are excited to announce another amazing year. As many of you know, this powerful three-day weekend is a family reunion of African people from around the globe who are dedicated to actualization of African liberation for our children and family. We are coming together for further training, education, resources, and support to see to it that we actualize our goals. Our children are our greatest investment. No excuses, only results. Let's come together and stand in for our true power. It feels great to be on this journey with you. When we work as a collective, our victory is always and already won. Planting seeds of success, bearing trees of fruit. Can't wait to meet you and see with you and build with you. And that is going to be happening. And I'll continue to announce that. And the Liberated Minds African Homeschool and Education Expo. I got my good friend with me, finally. It's been a while. How you doing, dear brother? How you doing, brother Franklin Jones?
The Black Matrix. I'm doing fine, my brother. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. The Black Matrix is back in the house, ladies and gentlemen.
It's always a pleasure to be on your station, my brother. Always. You are my brother from another mother.
I know that's right. I know that's right. Yeah. So how have you been?
I've been doing fantastic. I'm doing great. Well, I'm talking to you while driving. I sound okay to you?
That's fine. You sound good. You sound okay. So let's hope that continues. Let's hope you stay in areas where if you have to say something, it's audible. And I hope you can hear me.
I drove from Stockbridge now to College Park, and you were sounding sharp the whole time.
Right on. All right. Well, you know, today I sent to Brother Paul. I hope he received that. I didn't get confirmation. I wanted to talk about Britain. I remember a conversation we had, and Brother Paul said that Britain is the head of European, yes, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. Britain is the director. In fact, if you understand Britain, and believe me, we don't, especially when you cheer for Britain and you cheer for the Queen and you're just so enamored with the wedding and all this. You don't understand the devastation. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I wasn't talking.
Oh, okay. You don't understand the devastation that the United Kingdom, that Great Britain, has caused African people, and how evil that so-called empire has been to people of color around the world. When they say that the sun never set on the British Empire, they can say that to this very day because there's still commonwealths that are controlled by Britain. In fact, there was an email, because of all this madness that's going on here, there was an email that came out that said that that the Queen wants to take over the United States again. You know, that the Queen wants to take back the United States to civilize it, I guess. I don't know, but I know it was in jest, but that's the ridiculousness of the whole situation. And that is what happens globally with the United Kingdom, because the United Kingdom is rich. is the United Kingdom is wealthy beyond measure. And it is because of the African enslavement or the African servitude. Now, you know, I always like to use language. I always like to use language, Brother Frank, that I think is more appropriate to use as opposed to the language. I don't use the word slave because we were not slaves. I love using the word captive, you know, because that really demonstrates what we are and what we have become. I see we have somebody who's joined us. 447.
Yes, good afternoon, Brother Ochi.
Good afternoon, Brother Paul from the UK. How are you? How are things across the pond?
Well, you know, we are swimming hard against the tide. Every day is a challenge, but if you don't rise to the challenge, then how can you call yourself an African?
That's right. So, and then you're going to get swept away by the current and be a glimmering thought in the history of the world, and that's what we're up against. You know, that's what we're up
Absolutely.
Against. So,
Brother Ochi, let me just say this, yeah? I lined up two callers from the UK.
Great.
Who are heavily involved in reparations, and I thought they would be best placed to speak on the issue you presented me with. But
okay.
I must say, I've been trying to get into this conference call Uber thing, and for the first time, it's never happened before, I couldn't get in. Every time I dialed, it would just kept cutting me off. And I have never experienced that before. So they might be having the same problems. I can't put it down to what it is.
Oh, wow.
You know, I could talk on the subject.
Sure.
But I know those two, one Prophet Quaker and Brother Delaney. I know they're absolutely fantastic on that.
I would love to hear from Brother Kwaku and from Brother Jelani. Would love to hear from them, just as when you brought on Brother Long Wolf and others and brothers from Jamaica. So I appreciate that when you do that, Brother Paul, adding more people to the conference or more people to the conversation. That's good.
Yeah, and they promised me that they would bring in, and although one I know is actively involved because he runs his own business, and I know they're absolutely reliable. But like I said, I've been trying since 4 o'clock to get in on this conference call, and I've never experienced this before. I actually received like a no, you know, like when you ring a number and it's not valid.
Right.
And I've never, you know, so I don't know what that is. So maybe they might be experiencing the same thing.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
And on the last time I tried, I was going to give up. And then the last time I tried it, somehow we just went through. So, you know, that's the position.
Wow. Well,
you know, I'm happy to ask you, give you, you know, what my experience and what
sure.
I know, but it'd be nice if we could, you know, hear from the, if not this week or you know,
right.
Because
if we can't hear from, right, Paul, if we can't hear from them this week, then we'll definitely have them back on because we want to have this particular dialogue because we're dealing with what's going on in the African world. We have another caller just joined us, 442, 442.
Greetings.
Absolutely. That's our brother Delaney. Thank you for that. So he's got through. So I'm gonna let Brother Delaney speak because, like I say, Brother Delaney is a fantastic operator in terms of reparation, and he will have the information for you that you need. I guarantee you that.
All right, dear brother. I'm going to put you guys on mute. Just stay on the line. You're just going to be on mute. That's all. And I'll get back with you because sometimes it causes a lot of feedback. So please be patient. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Thank you, Brother Paul. And thank you. Welcome, Brother Jelani. How you doing, dear brother?
Greetings, my brother. Greetings. I want to greet you in the honorable spirit of our great and mighty African ancestors, my brother.
Thank you. Appreciate that very much, dear brother. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to put you on mute. I'm going to talk with our co-host, Brother Franklin Jones, and he'll introduce himself to you. If you don't know Brother Franklin, he's the brother that has the Black Matrix that you can check out online. So just please hold.
Brother Jelani, it's an honor
Mr. Jelani, it's an honor to meet you. I'm looking forward to hearing the information that you're going to provide for us.
My brother, you are the one who wrote the Black Matrix.
That is correct.
That is a powerful, powerful book, my brother. I often quote you and share you on my WhatsApp and share you all over my network because you did a piece on religion that is absolutely powerful.
I thank you very much. I thank you very much for being receptive to the truth, and I thank you even more for sharing the truth. It is all of our duty to share the truth. I believe that we are living in a time of awakening, my brother. I accept and thank you.
That's right. It's
definitely
time.
Definitely, my brother. Definitely. I'm looking forward to engage this discussion today, you know?
That's
I
great.
I think there are some serious issues that we can discuss in reference to reparation. And that's where I come into the struggle. I'm involved in the reparation struggle heavily.
Hold it.
Okay, we have another. Hold on, Brother Frank. We have another guest, 447-931. 447-931.
Yes, greetings in the name of the omnipotent being that which is greater than ourselves, who has many names, all of the Marian, Kulukun, Kun, Kwame, Black Oshe, Mungo, Amun Ra, Ashe. Yes, Prophet Kwaku.
Ashe, Brother Kwaku, that's a long title, dear brother. Ashe. Oh, appreciate you, Brother Kwaku, for being on with us.
Yes, my brothers and to the people in the United States of America, you'll have to apologize if you hear some noise. I'm actually working at the moment while I'm speaking with my brothers, yeah? Okay,
yeah. We appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Let me get back to my co-host, Brother Frank, Franklin Jones. Brother Frank, you see we have a good group of brothers with us today from the UK. Brother Paul has put some gentlemen on the line with us who can help articulate what's going on in the UK and really the diaspora. And my focus, Brother Frank, is to talk about Britain, because so much, particularly just recently, and this is part of the mind control that happens, that there's a perception looking at because of how consistently this country reports what happens in London, what happens in Great Britain, and how favorably that reporting is. You become so enamored with the Queen and the Princess and the Prince and their children, the wedding and so forth, not understanding the evil that Great Britain has done and really continues to do. Just recently, and I don't know, maybe I can ask this of the brothers who are on from the UK, there's been an email going around where Prince William is calling for population control on the continent of Africa. While it is known that the population of Europeans is constantly decreasing, there is a fear here in this country. There is a fear in the United States that they will not be the majority in about 22 years. By the year 2040, which is not long from now, because of the influx of immigration, the fact that Caucasian women are retarding their births in terms of waiting until they're 30-something, maybe even 40. Well, now this problem is almost impossible for them to have children because they want careers and so forth. And so now they're experiencing negative population growth, and it has caused a fear in them that the Honorable Dr. Francis Chris Welsing talked about 30-something years ago, and that is the fear of genetic annihilation. Brother Frank.
Yes. Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
I wasn't interrupting. I was listening to you.
Oh, okay. Well, go ahead.
I'm really interested in what the brothers are about to say about the reparations and how it's being denied. And I've been reading some of the information that you had sent me, and I basically understand where they're going to go with this. Several years ago in the United States, a senator wanted to do a legislation of some kind where America acknowledges and apologizes to African Americans for slavery. The government shut it down and say to acknowledge
what America has done to black people creates a ground for reparations. So there's a system in place where they don't acknowledge what they've done to us because it creates a ground for reparations. And based upon what I've been reading about Great Britain, is the same thing. The Great Britain never acknowledges what it's done to Africa because it creates merit for to Africans to pursue reparations. So that narrative of what they've done to us is always kept from the media. It's always kept away. So we are victims of a massive warfare tactic, a perception management system. And they create the narrative that sustains their interest. That's why they're never acknowledging what they've done to Africa.
And also, too, while the Western press is so favorable, so it gives this illusion about Great Britain, who to me was the centerpiece of the African enslavement, or the centerpiece of the servitude that was created by them and other Western countries. I'm going to get some of our brothers. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brother Frank.
You're absolutely right. Like, there are so many African, there's so many Americans as a whole that are enamored with Great Britain. When we have weddings, the weddings are all over our news. Even the funerals of their major figures. We are socially engineered to admire Great Britain, to love Great Britain. Many Americans love the Queen as if she was a queen in America. Yeah, I do agree with that social engineering. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because when you look at, as you were saying, the history of what Great Britain has done to African people. Millions of African people have died.
Yes.
The wealth of Africa is stolen by Great Britain. But they've socially engineered many of us to love and adore Great Britain.
That's right. Because they became the major player in the enslavement of African people, in the transportation of African people. John Hawkins and all of that. I'm going to get some of our UK brothers in. All right. Brother Kwaku, are you there? Brother Jelani, are you there?
Greetings, my brother. I'm here.
All right. What do you have to say?
Okay. I'm here, brother. But what I'm doing, because me, I work, when me put my phone on mute, so I can't hear the whole thing tonight. So, Jelani, you can start talking. Me will listen and then we'll come in, yeah?
Respect.
All right with the brother, them? Yeah?
Greetings.
Greetings. Go ahead.
Yes, yeah, so in respect to the issue that's been raised in terms of the media, this international media is an arm of white domination, is an arm of European expansionism, is an arm of imperialism. So they're going to always paint the image of themselves as to be superior, to be the greatest, to be the wonderful, and to be the beauty. So it falls right into the picture that they have built an international order and the media is just a part of it. So we're not surprised when they try to portray Britain as this lovable, wonderful place, this kingdom where everybody is happy and wonderful. I can assure you, my brother, that African people in the UK are not happy. We are not jolly-go-lucky. We are catching hell in the UK. Mm-hmm. The UK is responsible for a lot of the atrocities that people are still suffering from today. A lot of the maiming of our ancestors is manifest itself in our people today. Many of our people here in the UK are in mental institutions. Many of our people here is filled up in the prison industrial complex in the UK. Many of our people are unemployed, are living at the bottom of the barrel in this society here, my brother. So let them not fool you with their fancy media. And I hope the audience that listen to this show is not captivated by this propaganda that they portray around the world. And I can assure you that our people here, we're in an awakening state, but we are still slumber, we are still trying to get up, but we are on the path, my brother, of reawakening. And this reparation movement has been one of those inspiring movements, it's one of those agitating movements to agitate and wake our people up to demand justice for ourselves. Because the atrocities that our ancestors experienced, we're still experiencing it today. And that's one of our main duty right now is to try to convince our own people that they need to wake up. They need to hold these people accountable. And as you know, like you rightfully say, the British has been one of the greatest perpetrators of the crime against our people. And they need to be held accountable. And we are determined as African people here in the UK to hold them accountable.
And I think what's important for us to understand, I was referencing Brother Brother Paul, Jelani, and Kwaku, and of course my guest host, Brother Frank. An article I read from TheGuardian.com. TheGuardian.com is dated March 29th of this year. It's slavery, abolition, compensation. When will Britain face up to its crimes against humanity? And one of the, of course, to me, one of the worst crimes is, of course, the compensation that Britain gave under the so-called Slavery Abolition Act, which is to give compensation to the Britons whose property they were going to lose. I mean, instead of compensating the brothers and sisters who had been in servitude for hundreds of years and decade after decade, they wanted to give compensation to the Caucasians, to their fellow Brits who were going to lose, quote, that property.
That's amazing.
That's an insult to our humanity. It's an insult to humanity, my brother. That's how the twisted logics of these people works. They're twisted, you know? And that's a grave injustice to our people. And we're going to hold them accountable. And to know that, up till 2015, I and all the other citizens of Great Britain and across the Caribbean and the Commonwealth was helped to pay off these enslavers, these murderers and rapists and killers of our people. We were helping to pay them all. What an insult. And every day they tell us to forget about it. It's in the past when they were still collecting. They were remortgaging that loan and making money off of it. They're remortgaging them and making money off of it and use that money to build Britain. While they tell us to forget about it.
Yeah.
But when the truth has come to light and we intend to utilize it to this maximum effect, they will not get away with it.
But anybody else want to make a comment?
Yeah, I want to say something. When the brothers started speaking about the conditions of the Africans in Great Britain, the style condition they live under, it was exactly the exact same system we live under in America. When you talk about the mass incarceration, the high unemployment, the mistreatment, it's the exact same system. The words you were saying have been right here in Brooklyn speaking. It's just amazing. It's the same white racism, same system all over.
Because, see, what we have to understand that European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege is a global phenomenon. That's why I don't, my good brother, Brother Paul, and thank you, when I used to use the word supremacy, white supremacy, he said, no, Brother Oshi, they are not supreme. And we know this, but they are extreme. And we now realize this in terms of their behavior globally, and particularly as it relates to us. And because of what they have done, that they have painted a picture, a negative, evil picture of us that goes around the world. And so, therefore, just as Dr. John Henry Clark says, we have no friends. We have no friends. And the idea of being Caucasian to being, quote, white, which is something that they came up with. The idea of being white is a recent phenomenon. This comes out of after the Middle Ages, the Dark Age, when they were wakening up and began to venture out taking people's stuff. They say, we made war amongst ourselves as Germans or Franks or Gauls or Englishmen or Frenchmen or Spanish. We made war amongst ourselves, but we're going to come together on those of us who are outside of us. And we will develop an idea of collective whiteness. And we will define that. We will set a narrative out there that Caucasians or whiteness is good. They're civilizing. They bring you religion. They bring you technology. They bring you, all the while they steal your resources and kill your people. Even today, like they did from the beginning.
Can I jump in here?
Yes, please do.
Can I jump in here?
Yes. Go ahead, Brother Kwaku.
Over to the panel. What I think that we have to really kind of look at is our position of how we've allowed these people, them who are going by the science that they're putting out these days, are our children. We are the oldest people on planet Earth. There's nobody older than we, no other group older than we. Our DNA is the oldest DNA upon planet Earth. And we've allowed our children them
to behave badly. And one of the things that they are very good at is deception, deceit, yeah, and falsifying all type of things. You know, we have a march here, the 1st of August every year. It's called the African Emancipation Day Reparations March. And that march is about us galvanizing our people together, claiming the 1st of August, which we call the 1st of Messiah, in respect to our honorable eminent king, His Excellency Marcus Messiah Garvey.
Ashe, ashe, ashe.
Yeah. And also to support a petition called the Stop the Maangamizi petition. Maangamizi being a Kiswahili word that means the holocaust of chattel slavery,
yes,
colonialism, neo-colonialism, and the continuing of the destruction, the attempted destruction and genocide of African people. We charge them for genocide, but not only do we charge them for genocide, we charge them for ecocide. Because these people, ever since them get them foot on the tapestry of controlling the resources of the planet, I just made the planet unpalatable for other creatures as well as human beings. So they are very destructive group of people, and they're destructive by nature. It's not a nurtured behavior for them. See, it's a nurtured behavior for we, but it's not a nurtured behavior for them. They behave like this naturally. Any other group that they have come in contact with throughout their sojourn over the planet, they have either annihilated them to extinction, or they have made them extinct, or they have bred them out. So, for example, if you look down in South America and all them places where most of them are supposedly Hispanic, they have interbreed with the indigenous people to the point that they breed them out. In the place that you reside, which is called the United States, remember, United States is not a country, you know. It's a business. The United States is a business. It's a corporate business, and Trump now is the president of that corporation. See? So it's not really a country. It's a business. It's something called me do a thing, but on a massive level. See? And when they got a country, they annihilated the native people of the land and stole their wealth and then sought to breed them out. So you'll have some people who virtually look European, but say they are Native American. Correct me, I say? And we know by our studies and data from many of our great historians that the kind of people that they met when they came there were of a very dark hue. Not the one them who are calling themselves Native American today, because they breed them out. They turn them in a junkyard and kill them out. Almost like what they've attempted to do to the people them that reside in Papua New Guinea.
Yes, the Indonesians,
Samoa,
yes.
And Australia.
Australia, yes.
See? So these people them, you know, we must never take them lightly. And then what they do now, after them steal all the resources, build up for them infrastructure now, they might tell you, say, you can't do what they do. And you must fix them. Listen, let me explain something to people right here, right now, around the world. The European will never give nothing up until you can take it from him. And that's it. So all the other things that we're doing is just agitation. Is there anything, my brother, that it's like the fact that we can communicate across somebody, and somebody needs to mute them phone. You see the fact that we can communicate across the ocean and have this kind of conversation about our natural enemy? We are benefiting from people like Mumia Abdul-Jabbar. We're benefiting from people like Huey Newton. We're benefiting from all of our great African historians, like Dr. Clark, Dr. Ben, Sheikh Anta Diop, see? Ivan Van Sertema, John G. Jackson, Ishaka Musa Barashango, present-day people like Leonard Jeffries and Anthony Brook, you know, there's a whole of Francis Quest Wilson. All these people, them, who have who sacrificed their life to give us the information about these. I could hear a lot of noise in the background. Somebody's making a lot of noise.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Somebody needs to mute their phone.
Go ahead.
Somebody needs to mute their phone while I'm speaking. Yeah, thank you. Right. So all of we are benefiting from those struggles from antiquity right up to the 60s, 70s, 80s. We are now benefiting from it. And so when we're talking about reparations, we're talking about repairing the damage that has been done by our enemies to our people. We're not talking about money. Money is the compensatory part of reparation, which I know to myself that we're not organized enough as a race of people to be accepting any financial injection from our enemies, because we're only going to their banks. We don't, you know, we haven't got any international merchant banking. We don't control our shores yet. But what we have to do is put in place the mechanisms necessary that when our descendants arrive at that point, they can turn to these people and say, just like what Farrakhan was saying when he was talking about that thing the other day, you either cough up or else. But the or else will be, we will make you no more. And so Marcus Messiah Garvey specifically told us that we must train our children in the higher sciences, because the people that control science and technology will be the people them that dominate the world. And any leadership that makes you dependent on another race is a leadership that will enslave you. And so what we see, beloved, especially in the country that you reside, we have a lot of Africans who are educated. They're educated to the point of certain knowledge in particular skills. So we have them in NASA. We have them in all the sciences. We have them in laboratories, engineering, you name it. But they don't work for the benefit of African people. They work for the benefit of themselves and maybe their immediate family, which is good. But then their extended family now is the state that helps suppress you. So the state that helps suppress us and put us in bondage, you now support them. You now big them up. You now invent things for them. There was a young brother in South Africa. He went to the UCT University, I think it was, and he invented a machine that preserves water, like out of the atmosphere or something like that. It was a magnificent invention. All of a sudden, the brother supposedly jumped off a building and dropped down dead. Now a white company has painted his invention and come with the same invention. This is the people that we're dealing with. This is the people that we're dealing with. So what we say to our brothers and sisters around the world is that we have to start to Africate ourselves. Because, you see, we've got too many educated Africans, and they don't work for the benefit of African people. So an Africated African is an African that go to these various learned institutions, acquire a particular type of knowledge, and then use that knowledge now to enhance their community, the African community, and build them up. That's an Africated African. So the work that you're doing, beloved, is a repertory Africated work.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Ashe. Brother Frank. My good brother. Brother Frank, are you there? All right. Brother Jelani.
Yes, my brother.
Yes.
I think you got me on mute.
Okay, but now you're back on.
Yeah, all right, I'm back on. All right. Yes, I would like to endorse all that the Prophet Kwaku said a while ago. I think he was spot on.
Oh, no doubt.
And this system is a very, very vicious system, my brother, and we intend to hold him accountable, and that's why we, in the UK, we have the annual African Emancipation Day Reparation March. And it's a march where we carry the petition and deliver it to Parliament and to charge them with genocide against our people.
Yes.
Genocide and ecocide, because they're also destroying our environment.
Yes.
So, yes, that's what we are in the UK as a diaspora, actively engaged in the Pan-African struggle for our liberation. So, yes, and it is very important that we link up with our brothers in the UK that are engaged in the same global struggle, because
yes,
it's a global struggle against a global enemy.
All right, brother Frank, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
And when the other brother was speaking, it brought to mind what Marcus Garvey said. Marcus Garvey said the white man's propaganda has made him master of the world, and all those who accept it become their slaves. Totally true. The system that he's referring to is also called ideological subversion. So the white society imposes an ideological subversion into the minds of those that they conquer. That's what we saw when he was referring early to about our brothers who become Spanish, and they relate more to the Hispanic rather than their Indian roots. The dominance that whites have over us is that they control, is their monopoly over our minds. Whites would never give up their control over our educational system because that allows them to indoctrinate thoughts in our minds that serve their interests. This is why when we go to their schools, receive their education, get their degree, we are bent on, like his brother said, protecting, benefiting ourselves financially and supporting the infrastructure of white society. We have to recognize this ideological subversion system that's being used to control our minds. We have to understand it because that's how we'll overcome it, that there is a system in place. In fact, this system is real. Social science describes it as indoctrinating a value system into the minds of the oppressed that makes them adhere to the dominance of the dominant group over their lives. We are victims of this ideological subversion program. And we're being programmed. And until we recognize it and so we can start developing counter-strategies against it, they're going to continue doing it. And our children and our children's children is going to continue to program our minds. We have to recognize it because it is their core power over us. They're indoctrinating our minds. Regardless of how intelligent a person is, their mind is greatly dependent upon the information being fed into it. As long as whites feed information to our minds, they will program us. They will program how we think, what we think, how we feel. This is a system of mental slavery. And understanding this system and eradicating the system opens the door for more of our people demanding reparations. Because of this system, when a black man stands up and says, we want reparations, there are millions of black people who are embarrassed by him asking for reparations. There are millions of black people who have been socially engineered to believe that we don't deserve reparations. They've been programmed to believe that whites did us a favor when they enslaved us. Whites did us a favor when they colonized Africa because we were nothing before they came. These are the narratives that whites program into our minds. We have to understand this programming to eradicate it.
I say, brothers and sisters, let me get to Paul. Paul, how you doing, brother? You still there with us?
Brother, I'm here and I'm listening intently. And I'm just going to say this, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Thank you for the creators of this platform. Thank you, Brother Ochi. Thank you, Brother Franklin. Thank you for participating in this. Thank you, Brother Kweku. Thank you, Brother Delaney. You know, this is what we have to do. We have to communicate. Like Brother Kweku says, that we're using this technology across in the ocean, and we are using it as effectively as it should be used. So I acknowledge you all, and you know, being in the act of knowing that this is a great moment, and we must continue it. We must amplify it. We must be the ones to reach out. We must be the ones to fix this problem, because nobody else can fix it but us. So I just acknowledge, and I'm going to continue to listen intensively.
All right.
And you know, just acknowledge that we are doing the work.
That's
and
right.
You know, to those who say too much talk, I say, if you don't talk and if you don't have the ability to communicate, you won't know what the left hand's doing from the right hand. So the first part in any action must start from communication.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, just keep up the good work, and I'm just going to continue to listen intently.
All right, brother. We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to continue this conversation and going to go immediately to the conversation. But I want you to know how important it is that we engage in this kind of dialogue. And I really appreciate the brothers and all those who are listening here in the UK or here in the States or anywhere else, because it's important that we begin to understand what we are up against. because a lot of times we just don't have a damn clue. We don't understand the devastating effects. Neely Fuller was right. If you do not understand European Caucasian extremism, racism and privilege, how it functions, how it operates, everything else you think you understand will only confuse you. And I maintain, Brother Oshi, that we are so confused that we're confused in our confusion. And that's how confused we are. Brothers and sisters, we'll be right back. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Thank you.
Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're going to get right back to the conversation. We have some distinguished gentlemen who are with us today. Today, of course, is Wednesday, and I have my good brother and friend, Brother Franklin Jones. Brother Frank, how are you?
Fantastic, my brother. Fantastic. Always fantastic on your show.
Well, listen, I appreciate it. I appreciate what you bring, and always appreciate Brother Paul. Brother Paul, how you doing today? And he's there listening. I know he said he's going to be listening. And we have Brother Jelani and Brother Kwaku. I want to get to you, Brother Franklin, further.
Yeah.
Any, because, you know, when I sent this article out, and to me, I think that we definitely need to look at this, dissect it, and have deeper conversation on it, because the article, it says, it explains a lot. Explains a lot to us who are just not understanding the deep ramifications of the enslavement process, in which, to me, the root of that process is Great Britain, because they were the biggest enslavers of our people, and how they were able to shift all of that and give an idea that really they were the leaders in the abolition movement. They constantly put forth Wilberforce, you know, and that damn song, I Hate, you know. They constantly put forth all of these ideas of the enlightened British to bring the world under an enlightened age of not, no slavery, because they wanted to abolish it. But yet, they were the main ones that really kept it going, because even when they went through that process, they still had brothers and sisters who were in servitude. I can't remember from the article what they called it, but they were still in servitude, and they were still punished. They were still, oh, that's right, they called it an apprenticeship. They called it an apprenticeship, you know, during the, because they were supposed to teach us after the slave, some other facets of life of Great Britain and so forth, and it was still being punished. Brother Kwaku, are you there with us?
Hotep, I'm sitting
here. Hotep, dear brother, Hotep.
Yeah, you see, what a lot of people don't realize, you know, that Britain still own America.
Yes.
You don't know that, you know?
Yes.
Britain still own the United States of America. You better believe it. Yeah? And the head of it is Elizabeth. And her CEO is Trump. You see how what Trump going with over here to this big argument that people don't want Trump to have an official visit. But Trump has to come and see Elizabeth. He has to. And even if he come here just on what them call a political visit or not a state visit, he will meet with her in private. He has to. She sanctioned everything. And so you, my brothers and sisters, who know is in the belly of the beast, but you see where we're there in the brain. Because this little country here managed to go around the world and conquer nearly half of the world, you know. Not only conquer them physically, but conquer them culturally, conquer them spiritually, in that most people over the world, in the places what they were, still speak their language. Remember, you know, the people them that reside in the United States, you know, them is the export, where Britain, the cargo Britain export, you know, including them own people. Because most of the people them send out of them places like Australia, New Zealand, and all them places there, and even when they, you know, first a pure criminal them they send down there, you know. That's why you see them did what them call a Wild West. A pure murderer them send down there. Most of the people them that they own plantations, they live on them. They never live on them, you know.
When I'm going to the records here in Britain, in the 17th century, there was over 40,000 British people at stake in our ancestors. And just for the record, beloved Oshie, I'm not a gentleman. Nothing gentle about me. He's an African warrior.
I say, brother.
You understand? So nothing gentle about me, rude boy.
I say, brother, yeah? Kwaku. I say.
Right? That's a fitting talk because them no gentle. Them all talk about gentle, but them gentle when them come to me, them never gentle at all. Fire to them. I'm enough to clear with them. And what happened is, you see, but them is not our problem. And this is the only time you'll hear me use this word to define a particular scenario. They have the niggas to help them. That's who them are, the niggas. They're not a nigger. I'm not clear that game there. I'm not buying that word there. But they have these little traitors that work on their behalf. Nothing change since the kidnapping of our people and the enslaving of our people. Nothing change. The only thing changes is technology and science. We still have them as overseers. When you go into the job, if you have somebody that look like you, who's your manager, your supervisor, them worse than the gringo them. Them behave worse. It's because they've got our mind cornered. They've got us psychologically entrapped. And so the objective of the repertory work that Delaney, myself, and the other members of our organizer called the African Emancipation Day Reparation March Committee do is throughout the year, we engage in repertory work, trying to repair the damage, trying to engage with our damaged people and conversate with them and try to africate their minds in the situation that they find themselves and we are actually perpetrators of our own demise. Your enemy will never train you to defeat him. So when you're going to Yale and all them places there, you think you're going to, they might train you to come use where you learn from them, don't they? This is why you have to do a particular, whatever science you do, you have to do a language, the English language. Because within, wrapped up in the English language is their mores, is their culture, it's everything.
I agree.
Culture is what makes a people pick. There's a famous European historian called Basil Davidson.
Yes.
And people can go on YouTube and research it.
Yes.
He did a program in this country probably a decade and a half ago. Well, more than a couple of decades ago. And it was called Africa, the Bible, and the Gun.
Mm. Yeah, I'm familiar. Yeah, I'm familiar with Basil. I'm familiar with Basil Davidson's work. In fact, he had a number of series on. One was just Africa, where he explained the history, the beginnings of Africa, and so forth. So, yeah, I'm very familiar with some of his work. One of the few Caucasians, and very few, that speak objectively about the situation that Africa is in or is in still, and its history. So, I would give him some prop. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah. But there was a particular, this particular series, he was talking about how the Europeans were able to come and conquer Africa. And they had, he was showing you how they had problems. And then he makes a statement. He says, the Europeans discovered the power behind the culture and civilization of the Africans. And that power was connected to their ancestors and their spirituality. So the Europeans decided that the only way to defeat the African was to tear down their spiritual practices. Because we, who are the original people of planet Earth, the original people of the universe, knows that you do nothing without consulting with the oracles or consulting with your ancestors or the creating force of the universe. You don't do that. You do not work against nature. You work with nature. They work against nature. And that is why, brothers and sisters, you know, when the sun shines and on the news they're telling you about burn time, they're not talking to you Africans. It's not you they're talking to. They're talking to their own people because the sun ain't their friend. And the sun is the most powerful energy force in our universe. Without it, nothing exists. So if we interact with the sun like a plant interacts with the sunlight in photosynthesis, then we are gods on earth. But we are deluding ourselves, trying to aspire to people who are less than us when it comes to the sun. And so they used to call a sun worshiper. Yeah? You know, so when you go to Kemet and Adam Pierce, you say, Ra, Amen Ra, in its full jai. See? But we don't appreciate love, our story. And it hurts me that these great sages, like I knew Dr. Ben personally, and Ishaka Musa Barashango, these are great elders that I met, that they sacrificed their lives to bring us information. And we just try at the wayside, like it don't exist. And I take up them Bible and them Quran and all them something there. But fire for them thing that, I mean, upset enough people in America. But you see, the thing about it is this, you know, when you advocate yourself and you get the knowledge that, well, boy, this is the original thing. Why you want secondary? Why you want a second hand?
That's right.
Eh? If you have money, big money, where you and you want to buy a pretty car, you buy a brand new car. Where you go buy? You don't want. You want to buy a second hand car, and you're better. So I'm not denigrating our brothers and sisters that move into these various religious practices because it's, you know, this. It's in the nature of the African to adhere to a spiritual force. At some point in your life, you start to get spiritual. But if you don't know how to direct that spirituality, there's nothing there. You will go to what you know. So we go to Christianity because that's how the Europeans trained us.
Right.
Some of us think, nah, the Christian thing, we're not really deal with that. Who are for this Muslim thing? The Muslim thing is more militant and will fire for the white thing. See? And then some of us move into Rasta. But the reality is this, they're foreign doctrines. And if you do your research enough, you will find that out. Look when we were powerful. When we were doing our own thinking.
That's right.
We didn't build the pyramids. We didn't map the constellation of the stars, right? And at a 26,000-year period, split up into four. We didn't do that. Yeah? When we were Christians or Muslims.
That's right.
We didn't build our civilizations then, those great civilizations when we were there. That was after we had been dominated by, first the Ixises in 1785 before the coming era. And then the Persian in 525. And then Alexander of Macedonia. See? In a 360.
But,
and then after him came the two Roman empires. And then after him come the Arab then, and then the Turks, and then the French, and then the British. The Africans are most eminent sage, Chancellor Williams, told us, have been fighting a war for six millenniums.
Yeah, yeah. We have been in, Brother Kwaku.
It took them 6 millenniums.
Yeah, we have been.
Let me land on this. It took them 6 millenniums to arrive to the point where them there to be. So we shouldn't feel bad how we find ourselves. I think we should rise up ahead to think that we went through what we went through, and we can still stand up proud and are doing things in whatever farm we are doing things. You see what I'm saying, King?
No doubt. And you're right. We have been under consistent attack, as Chancellor Williams in Destruction of Black Civilization has taught us, for over 2,000 years. Now, understand, there was a period of time, when African people ruled the world, when people came from far and wide to sit at the feet of our people to learn science and math and architecture, music, lighting, law, religion, you name it, and we did it. And now, yeah.
Can I interject there, beloved?
Sure, go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead, brother.
I've heard this definition, and in my early days of studying and doing research in our story, I used to use that word, rule the world. No, we did not rule the world. We were on about ruling people and other groups. What we did, we moved with nature, and we had knowledge of nature. We had knowledge of the stars and how to grow food and irrigate. And then we learned how to move and govern people and be fair under the system of Maha. We have evidence to prove that Africans traveled to the Americas long before Europeans did.
Ashe.
But they're called the Olmecs. But you don't know, nobody knows where they are, what happened to them. Because we did not go into other cultures and decimate them. We, wherever we went, we enhanced that culture. Cambodia, China, India, Greece. We enhanced those civilizations. We showed them how to live off planet Earth and how to map time following the stars, following the sun and the moon. We never got to go rape, off and kill, murder and do all kind of wickedness. That came after they started to invade and do what they did to us. And so that's why we raised up great generals like Hannibal Baraka, put Moses the first, took Moses the third, and Ramesses the second, and Pianki and the Mande. Yeah? Them yes. Mande for God with certain things because they realized that them boy, hey, them boy is that them boy want to come test with. But we're always forgiving. That was our mistake.
Right. Because we're humane people. We're humane people. We are the first people on the planet. And I would agree with you about rulership. I would agree with you on that because we weren't ruling. We were in tune. We were in tune with the planet. We were in sync. We were in sync. And yet people came from far and wide to sit at our feet, and we didn't diss them. We didn't go, just like you said, we didn't go to other places and take people and decimate people and decimate their land and take their... This is not us. This is not who African people are. We recognize our very beginnings as the first people on this planet. But yet we have been duped by an evil mindset of the people who came from the north, the people who came in an environment that was harsh, unforgiving. And that's why I don't really quote a lot of Caucasians, but there's a Caucasian named Michael Bradley who wrote a book called The Iceman's Inheritance.
Iceman's Inheritance, yes, you know it.
You know it. Yep. Let me get some other folks in this conversation. Brother Jelani.
I'm gonna mute, yeah. I just need to break my fast and thing, but I'm gonna mute.
Okay.
And then I'll come back.
Okay, thank you, brother. Brother Quakus, please stay with us. Thank you. Brother Jelani.
Yes, my brother.
All right.
Greetings. Can you hear me, my brother?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Yes, I would like to endorse what the brother of Prophet Quaker is saying. I think he has a brilliant take on what's happening to our people. And this global struggle has to keep intensifying. And we brothers here in the U.K., what we are doing, we are agitating our people. We are organizing them. We are mobilizing them. And on the 1st of Messiah, 1st of August, we've been mobilizing our people in the thousands to come out in the streets of London, to lock down the streets of London, and the issue will be reparation. That's what the issue will be, reparation. And we are calling for a commission of inquiry to investigate the crimes against our people. So that is what we're doing here, my brother. So we're tying all of the understanding to concrete action on the ground. And we got teams on the road that go out and try to talk to our people and try to encourage them. We also have a petition that we're encouraging our people to sign. It's on the change.org, and it's to stop the Mangamizi, We Charge Genocide, Ecocide. So we're encouraging our people to go on these sites and sign the petition. Get active, read the petition. Most importantly, read the petition, because that petition is tight. It doesn't leave nothing out. All the issues that we are raising today on this program is laid out in that petition. All the charges is laid out in that petition, and we're charging them with genocide and ecocide. And we will not let up until we achieve justice. And like the prophet said earlier, we have to take effect and secure reparation. You know, doing nothing is not an option.
All right. Just hold Brother Jelani. Brother Paul, if you can, send me that petition. Email me that petition. Also, Brother Paul and Brother Jelani and Brother Kwaku, as well as my co-host, Brother Frank. Brother Frank?
Yes, my brother.
You just heard them, and what I want to propose for us is that next year is 2019. We have supposed to be here since 1619. That was supposedly the first time we arrived. There's many conflicting dates, but just let's say we'll use that for the sake of this discussion. We'll use 1619. So next year is 400 years of our people being here in America, in the United States, not in this hemisphere. It's been longer than that. What I propose is that we cook up with the brothers and sisters in the UK to formulate by next year a worldwide challenge for African people with the idea and the concept of reparations and freedom and justice for our people. So not just the UK, not just America, but any other part of the diaspora and on the continent of Africa has a unified measure to challenge what Europeans have done to us.
Absolutely.
Brother Paul, go ahead.
We have to indoctrinate the mindset of liberation into the minds of our people no differently than whites have indoctrinated the complacency within our people. We have to create a format, a program, where we spread the information to our people that elevates their mind towards seeking reparation. I like to say, so often when we come together and we bring this knowledge, there is a degree of frustration when we speak. And many of us believe that we are citizens living in an unfair system. But what's being done to us are actually tactics. I served in the United States military in the infantry for 15 years. And there are books written about how to treat prisoners of war and how to maintain long-term oppression. And I want to give you just a little bit of example of what they teach us on how you treat prisoners of war and how you maintain long-term oppression. It says you vilify the prisoners of war to make others insensitive to their plight. You identify their leaders as agitators, and then you kill them, you subdue them or kill them. It says when the prisoners of war presents a narrative about their mistreatment, the oppressors will never acknowledge these grievances. They will always present a counter-narrative to deflect and defuse it. You divide the prisoners of war by inundating them with negative, humiliating narratives about themselves. And you constantly keep imposing your self-serving narratives upon the prisoners of war. These are tactics that they teach us. And these are the exact same tactics that's being done to the African people by white society. Also, when I was also in the military, when I went into Iraq, and we went into their schools, we changed their curriculum. We gave them a curriculum that indoctrinated their minds to be more compliant with America's occupation of Iraq. These things that we're talking, we have to look back and not be so much emotional, but look at it in a tactical sense. There is a tactic they're using against us. Once we recognize it is a tactic, and we understand we must teach our people the tactic. Once the people realize what is being done to them, out of a necessity to free themselves and to survive, they will develop counter strategies. This is a basic part of the human condition and psyche. We must teach our people what is being done to them, how the system works, and this elevates their mind to produce counter strategies. We must indoctrinate our people with counter propaganda, showing them, teaching them what is being done to them. This is what we must do, and we must do it globally, continually and repeatedly. What we're doing is we're creating a narrative. We're creating a narrative that liberates our people. Societies function based upon narrative. Society doesn't function based upon what is true. It functions based upon prevailing narratives. That's what a white man continues to impose his narrative on the world. We must provide for our people narratives that elevate their mind, make them pro towards reparation, and make them aware of what's being done to them.
and we must share it. We must share it. We must use the internet like a modern African drum, and we must share the truth. We must continually do it. That's what we must do.
Go ahead, Paul.
Yes, just following up what Brother Franklin says, and I hear this quite often on this particular platform, and it's something which resonates with me. We hear the Europeans talk about think tanks, and like Brother Franklin talks, the society is run by narratives. Well, those narratives are being directed by think tanks, academics, Eurocentric academics, which come together with supposedly clever ideas, which they direct at the government. And like you rightfully said, Brother Franklin, we have to do our own propaganda. And this think tank, as we know it, is going to be devised from our powers within, our spiritual powers, our collective powers, and from our mindsets, Those of us who have the ability to think outside the box, those of us who have the ability to recognize the nature of our adversaries and counteract it just by conversations like this, to show that we know who we are. And the mere fact that we know who we are, we know what to do. And we are not frightened, and we don't succumb by fear. We are the ancestors returned. We have their ability and their power, and we will continue to change this narrative. So, Brother Franklin, I absolutely agree. Our think tanks start in our minds and our ability to communicate. Our ability to communicate uncompromisingly, without apology.
Right.
I'm not apologizing for making this connection. I have no fear to make this connection. And as it goes on, we'll expand this. We'll expand this, because we'll show by our actions how we do it. And I know there are many people listening to this right now and getting excited about the difference in this particular conversation. But don't just sit on it. Expand your mind and allow your mind to be your think tank. So, Brother Franklin, I absolutely appreciate that contribution.
Ashe.
And I appreciate your endorsement. Love you, my brother.
Ashe. And the reality is that that's why this program, I come on this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And what I talk about is independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. To me, it is the only discussion, and not getting into a debate whether we should do that or not. Damn that. No, the discussion is, how do we achieve it? How can we come together to make it a reality within a lifetime for our people who have been so debased and degraded and dehumanized and demeaned? How can we make this happen? Because just as was said earlier with Brother Kwaku, it is hard for our people to understand the importance of receiving reparations, because we don't believe that we are owed reparations, and that somehow what Europeans have done, some of us are thankful for that fact. A dude wrote a book about 20-some years ago thanking Caucasians for getting his people out of Africa. We are too completely whitewashed, thanking them and believing that it was a godsend that Europeans did what they did to us. Just recently, a Caucasian named Charles Kuttheimer passed. He was an editorialist, a right-wing conservative editorialist. I read an article by him many years ago, and he talked about we should give American Africans reparations. Here was his thinking. He said, we have given them welfare. We have given them affirmative action. We have given them all of these things. Let's go ahead and give them reparations, because with the mindset that they have, we'll get that money back within a matter of months, if not a year, because they don't have the collective mindset that they would pull those monies together and create institutions for themselves. They'll buy cars. It'll almost be like a stimulus, an economic stimulus package for the country. And then once we've done that, we have paid them off. No longer can they cry about discrimination. No longer can they cry out about exclusion and so forth. And if they do, they have the onus upon them. There'll be no class actions. The onus upon the individual to prove that point, you see. And so to me, there are a lot of our people who just don't understand the importance of us as being a collective mind, having that collective mind to challenge Caucasians to what they have done for us and to receive reparations. Brother Kwaku.
Can I interject in it? Can I
sure.
interject there?
Go ahead.
My brother, thank you for that explanation about what that European said. But let me explain something to you now. No white boy, no white woman, no white pygmy can give me reparation. None. Them can't give me reparation. Reparation is not about money.
Right. That's right.
Reparation is about repairing the damage that is done. And they would not repair that damage at all, brother. What you're talking about within the reparations campaign, which is worldwide, is an organization in your country called INCOBRA.
Yes.
One of our members in our organization worked close with INCOBRA. And so...
Let me say this, brother Quaker. Let me say this because I've been in many INCOBRA meetings. I'm a member of INCOBRA, and I've come to them a number of times stating that we should not be talking about money. I understand that there have been many of our people who have been impoverished for generations, and I understand that. But the main thing about reparations is to repair us, to build institutions so we can once again be players in the world instead of the pawns that we've become. And so to me, to advocate about reparations is to advocate upon a deep change within the structure of African people globally.
That's right. Is it, beloved, let me explain something to you. With all the resources that these people have stole out of our motherland and continue to steal, money is not African people's problem. In the United States, Africans spend a tune to something like $20 billion a year, but that money don't spend in our community because our minds are not correct. Imagine if our minds, one day Africans just walk up and said, I'm only going to do business with Africans. My money is only going to go to Africans. Our financial problem changed in a moment. Remember, you know, Marcus Garvey said it, think black, buy black, and everything else will take care of itself. So it's not money. It's the mind. Was it C.B. because the greatest weapon that the enemy has against the oppressed is the minds of the oppressed.
That's what I close my program with. Every program I close my program with, the words of Stephen Biko. And here's how I even close it, Brother Kwaku. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. And this program that you're listening to right now is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but it's also the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for it. That's a Dr. John Henry Clark quote. And so I'm trying my best, and I will continue to do whatever I can until I expire to drum that home for African people. It is about the mind. That's why I got Brother Frank Jones on the program, because that's what he talks about, how messed up the mind of our people is.
The key to our liberation, beloved, is our children.
I
say. Our children. It's not you and me now. You and I, we who's on this platform, our duty is to advocate the generation to come. Our duty is to stand between them and our enemies. And if it means our life, then we must give it. Because greater than I has given up their lives and didn't think about their own personal family. Malcolm wasn't thinking about his own personal, his children and the woman them embarked them with the pregnant in Abetti. When he was standing up front. Yeah?
That's right.
Malcolm never.
That's right.
All these other great women and men that stood in the face of these people at a time when they could have been taken out any time. How could we come and do less? So the future is our children. And they know the future is our children, and this is why they seek to corrupt them. Because if you corrupt the children, this is just like a computer. You get a new computer and you put a virus in there, you mash it up.
You see what I deal with? So what we have to do is to Africate our children, our descendants, and don't look for reparations in the time that we want, because, you know, we are benefiting from the Nat Turners, the Denmark Bases. That's who we're benefiting from. When them man they sacrifice themselves, say, we are, you know, me now make them boy them do the thing, you know, is liberty our debt? Like Dessalines, Bookman Dutty. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Ashe.
Africans that fought for us, that fought knowing that death was waiting for them. To join the truth, Harriet Tubman. These are great people that gave up their lives. They didn't. Harriet Tubman free her escape and she come back and free her husband and her children. She never stopped this up. And we don't know the conversation that I've got. I think that conversation, don't go by this day. No, we free you, we'll free you, the rest of the people then. Because even each of us who's on this radio right now has members of our family telling us, shut up, stop talking like that. Then we're going to come to you. Mind where you are, though. We can't have that individualistic mentality.
That's right. But see, that's...
Let me tell you something, brother.
Go
brother,
ahead.
Let me tell you something. You didn't choose what you wanted to do. Frank didn't choose what he wanted to do. Paul never chose what he wanted to do. Brother Delaney never chose what he wanted to do. I never chose it. It chose us.
That's right. I share.
And we just have to deal with it. You see my deal? But there was something you said earlier, and I just want to make a correction. There is a... We are connected with brothers and sisters in the Americas, in the Caribbean, in the continent of Africa, and in Europe, re the 1st of August. People galvanize on the 1st of August. So I'm putting it to you, beloved, if you could put it out there, to organize something in solidarity, in umoja, on the 1st of Messiah. Whatever you want to do, what do you want to go, if you just want to do a demonstration or you want to get together to support the petition that we're doing and support the demonstration that we have here annually. It's the fifth one. And they don't want us to have it. But them can't stop with. You see me I deal with. So I'm commissioning, I'm saying to brothers and yeah, that if there's something you could get together. Because when we do something together internationally, it has a serious cultural and spiritual effect on our people. We'll be stronger spiritually. It will energize us to go out and to advocate our people in the knowledge of self and in the knowledge of reparation.
You can count on this program, and I'm trying to get others and to acknowledge that fact. That's why, Brother Paul, if you can send me an email with that information on the August 1st and the petition, so you can circulate it on this program and hopefully on Brother Elliot's program.
Yes. Brother, if you want to know anything about the march, it's simple. You just go www.reparationsmarch.uk.com.
Reparations March.
Reparationsmarch.uk.com.
UK.com.
Yes. And then also, you can go on the Stop the Maanga Mizi site, mm-hmm. which is spelled MAANGAMIVI.com. Stop the Maanga Mizi.
Stop the Maanga Mizi?
The Maanga Mizi. Yeah. Maanga Mizi.
Okay.
Yeah?
Okay.
Right? It's www.reparationsmarch.org.
Oh, it's .org.
And it's .org.
Okay, reparationsmarch.org.
Okay. Org.
Right, uh-huh.
Yeah, and then the next one is www.stopthemaangamizi.com.
Okay.
So that's stop the, and then M-A-A, that's MAANGAMIZI.
GAMIZI.
Yeah.
.com.
And also, if you tap in reparationsmarch UK, you will see like videos of the march and speeches and things like that.
Okay.
From 2014 up to 2017.
So you probably can go on YouTube for previous marches that you have. I seen one last year with the brothers and sisters, many of them draped in the red, black, and green, and so forth. And so I think what I would like for next year, particularly, and I'll support, but for next year particularly, as we make this move, understanding that this would be the 400 years, marking 400 years in this country that we've been under this BS, that and I understand that it is global, that we try to develop a global movement for the worldwide African liberation. You know.
Yes, sir.
So, yeah, Brother Paul.
No doubt, beloved.
Thank you. Brother Paul, are you still there with us?
Progress is, you know, when we make progress and when we set targets, that's all about our progression, and that's what we need. We need progression. You know, we need to set targets. We need to work together. Everything we need to do, we are sane. And I think the first thing we need to do is being able to communicate with each other. So it's a brilliant day. And I know the listeners of this platform, wherever they be, on the world, they enjoy us working together, because so much of the narrative tries to put out the picture that we're not together.
Right.
We don't communicate. We do. It doesn't matter. I've never met you, but I know you. I know you because we share the same spirit.
That's right. We come from the same source. That's right, brother. I say.
So I can feel your spirit. And that's the level we worked on. And I know many of us don't, because we've been indoctrinated, as
right.
Brother Franklin absolutely rightly says. We've totally and absolutely been indoctrinated. What we're calling education, which we send our children to every day, is nothing really but 98% indoctrination.
Yes.
So we know what we need to do. We're sending out the vibration, and we're going to do it. We're going to win this thing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm absolutely certain. I knew this from I was a child to now. And my problem is, and I tell the world, and I tell you too, my problem is the frustration I feel, when I look at others and I speak to others, and they don't know we're going to win this thing. That's where my biggest frustrations come. So those who hear me raise my voice or talk, they say I talk passionately. I just want them to realize that I've always known we're going to win. I know. I absolutely know. And my frustration comes from those who don't know. They don't really know themselves. So, bro, we're just on the right track. And we are going to do it. That's it.
But, Paul, if I may say this, be mindful of this fact when you get ready to put on this march. If you look in the white media, you'll see them putting out, negative stories. They would put slants on it. They would say negative things about it. And they also do things as put black people into the march who are there to disrupt it. So just be mindful of those things. They do put systems in place to disqualify your protests, to negatively define what you're doing. So just be mindful of those situations. They're gonna use the media to say negative things, and sometimes they put people in your group who looks like you but don't have the same African spirit to cause confusion. There's lots of things that tactics they use. I'm just saying, be mindful of it.
Absolutely, absolutely on point. One of the tactics they use is trying to ignore. You get news reports on absolutely everything, but they try and absolutely ignore the fact that you've just shut down the whole of the central of London. But we are totally aware of their tactics, and they send their what we call agent le provocateurs, to call this kind of. But you're right. You're absolutely right. And I know Brother Delaney, and I know Brother Prophet Kwaku are absolutely on point with those sort of things. But I'm just glad this was able to, this conversation was able to take place, and we're going to do more of it. We're going to amplify it around the world.
That's right, dear brother. Brother Jelani?
Yes, my brothers. It's been an honor to interact with my brothers. Can you hear me?
We sure can. You go ahead.
It's been an honor, and I'd like to endorse what Kwaku has said and what our brother Paul has said. And what the contributors on this platform have said tonight, today. I would like to also say, my brother, Carl, your point about the global day of action is a very important point that we should not let this go lightly. We have been calling for an international rally of our people around the world. We have our colleague in Africa and the Caribbean who march protest on the day as well. And we're encouraging our brothers in America to join in, to join on the day, find the British consulate, find the British embassy, wherever they are, and let them know that we are united on this globally, on this case of reparation. And they will not be let off the hook. You know what I'm saying? So I really want to emphasize that point that we have to keep that going. And hopefully by next year we can have solidarity rallies in America, South America, Caribbean, and Africa with our brothers here in Europe.
Ashe.
Ashe.
Brother Kwaku, closing remarks?
Yes, okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to endorse everything that Brother Delaney said and what you said, my brother. And, you know, I want to ask the ancestors to watch over you and to watch over everybody on this program, because we know that the enemy is seeking to destroy us. And so I pray to our beloved ancestors and the creating force of the universe, the omnipotent being that which is greater than us, to the riches and the natures, that no harm may come to you, my brother.
Ashe.
My brothers and my sisters in the struggle. That's my libation to this station.
Ashe.
Yeah, because we are relation. Yeah, and we shall not succumb to intimidation, because we are the first of creation. See? And so we just want people for us to know that. And we just want people to know, don't think that sometimes we have butterflies in our body, because we know the ability of our enemy. We never underestimate the ability of our enemy. But we are prepared that if whatever come, then I just saw it go. See?
Mm-hmm.
Because then, you know, you can kill a person, but you can't kill an idea.
That's right.
And that's why Jay Edgar Hoover did not assassinate Marcus Garvey, because they didn't want to turn him into a martyr. But he was a martyr. He's a martyr anyway, because we are moving on the philosophy of Marcus Garvey.
That's
and
right.
That we are moved on.
That's right.
See? So, you know, beloved, just keep up the good work. And if I can interject again, I will. I want to rise up Brother Paul for making the connection. You know, Paul, big up yourself every time. And, you know, sometimes I dabble in between, you know, my little twang, because I'm just real, you know, I'm not plating. You know what I mean? Yeah? So I just want to say to everybody, stay African.
That's right.
Stay Africated. Yeah, seek who you are. If you find who you are, then you will know your purpose here. And our purpose is to help liberate our people. There's no other purpose of us being on planet Earth at this moment, in this time, in this existence. See, we have to make the future for our children better. You know, there's a saying, it says, let's make the planet better than we found it. And so every generation under the Maangamizi of enslavement, every generation fought, every generation did what they could do so that we could get the chains off our hands and our necks and our feet, so we can stop them abusing our children and abusing us as men and women. Yeah? Yes. So we can elevate ourselves and, you know, get certain knowledge so that we can advance ourselves as people on this planet, as the first people on planet Earth and as the oldest people on planet Earth. I bid you farewell, my brothers.
Ashe.
Yeah. May the creative force of the universe and the omnipotent being that was greater than us humbly protect and guide you. Otep,
and you Ashe, too. You too, Ashe, dear brother. It's a pleasure.
Ashe.
Ashe, y'all.
Ashe.
Brother Ashe. Paul, some quick closing remarks before I go to my good brother, Brother Frank. Brother Paul.
Yes, I always have to acknowledge, and I will continue to acknowledge the work of Scotty Reed, the work of our brother...
Brother Elliot?
Brother Elliot. Mm-hmm. Brother Elliot Booker, for bringing this foundation, and he's co-host. And you, Brother Oshi, and everybody on this platform, and everybody who's listening to this platform, you know, and the contributors today. We are the change, and we are the ancestors we've been waiting for. We are the change we've been waiting for. So, you know, as long as we are doing the work, as long as we are reaching out, you know, nothing can stop us.
That's absolutely right. Nothing.
And it can't. Right. It absolutely can't. You know, so we just continue doing what we're doing. And that's it.
Ashe. My good friend and my good brother, Brother Franklin Jones, the Black Matrix.
Thank you very much. I want to take this time out to honor and thank Brother Paul for what he for inviting these other brothers on to the show. I appreciate you, my brother. I appreciate your spirit. I can hear it sincerely, and I know your African spirit is real. And it lifts my heart to know on the other side of the globe there are brothers like yourself doing what you're doing. And I want you to know it's really appreciated. I really love your spirit, my brother. Keep doing what you're doing. I think the show that we had, I think it was elevated by the other guests you brought on. I want to just thank you for doing that. I think because of you, there are more people in Great Britain that are learning about the show. And you're spreading the truth by doing that. Thank you very much, my brother.
Thank you all. Brothers and sisters, I want to thank my good brother, Brother Franklin Jones, when we are here on Wednesdays. And the whole purpose is, of course, to put something on the minds of our people. It's also important that we begin to come together, release the vice grip that the European has on our minds. If you know that tool, once you set the vice grip, you just can't pull it apart. But there's a knob at the end of the handle of the vice grip. Turning that knob is symbolic of acquiring knowledge of self, gaining consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are culturally, who you are historically. And so I'm saying is that once we begin to develop, elevate this consciousness and do what we must do as a community, there is nothing can stop us. Because once we release that vice grip that this cracker has on our minds, our thinking is clear. There will be serious clarity in terms of purpose. We can implement Ma'at. We can implement the Nguza Saba of unity, self-determination, collective work of responsibility, cooperative economics, purpose, creativity, and faith. We will have the balance of Ma'at, truth, justice, righteousness, reciprocity, harmony, order in our lives. We have everything we need. We have everything we need. The main problem is our minds. Stephen Biko said the most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor, the European, the Caucasian, the cracker, whatever words you want to use, the most potent weapon in their hands is the minds of the oppressed. And this program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that the world wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for, that we must control. Brothers and sisters, it's always an honor and a pleasure to come before you. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Have a blessed and wonderful day, and we'll see you back here on Friday. Peace, family.
Ashe, Ashe,